on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday, October 13th edition of InvestTalk. I do appreciate you being with me. We're here to help you expand your knowledge and give you some perspective, as we say almost every day, on managing your money that you've earned. Remember, you want to make it earn money for you instead of you earn it. It's time for it. At some point in your career, some point in your life, you want the money to earn money and pay you instead of you working hour after hour, day after day, week after week to earn the money. Okay, there's a point that most of us need to turn that around. Now, many of us are not going to be able to do that. And I know that, but this show is about helping you get to that point, get to the point that we can do that. And successful investing is all about managing risk, but so is life, isn't it? We're managing risk from time to time. When you wake up in the morning, you're managing risk. You drive the car. You go to sleep at night. You know, do you exercise? What do you eat? Everything is risk management, just how much risk. Very little risk most of the time, but there's risks. You know, so everything you do has risk. And investing, of course, it's all about risking your money. You know, and it's about risk, though. How to judge it, how to measure it. You put every dollar you invest at some degree of risk. I don't care, even if you put it in the bank or in a mattress. You put it in your mattress under your bed, you risk two things. Inflation, for it to be worth less money in the future, and destruction in one way or another. Stolen, fire, earthquake, whatever. You risk it. It's risk. It's just in your mind, that risk, you know, is very, very small. So everything's a risk. And one of the devices we use to reduce the level of risk is diversification. And when you're talking about investing, that's spreading your money around to different things, different asset classes. And there's different kinds of diversification. You know, there's different kinds of risks that you take. You know, and there, we're going to talk about diversification and a little bit more about that in InvestTalk 101 today. But you know, really, you need to start understanding that. I looked at a couple of portfolios today that they're very risky. And it depends if that's what you want. Then how do I, and the reason why they were risky is they were very concentrated in a stock or in a sector. I don't want to get into details, but if they're concentrated, well, you will either be a hero or a dunce when you concentrate your portfolio. It's not risk management, though. They're not managing your risk when that happens. And sometimes people want to take super high risk and they don't want to manage that risk. They want it just to be high. Okay. All I'm concerned is that you understand that's what you've done and that's where you are. That's how your portfolio is set up. Now, do you have questions about diversification? Here on InvestTalk, we try to answer your questions with our 24-hour listen line. Or you can talk to us live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time. 888-99-CHART, how you can reach us right now.
Hi, I'm a podcast listener from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've been following a small company named OxyShare, O-X-Y-S. It's an over-the-counter stock that's going to be potentially uplisted to the NASDAQ soon. They'll be doing a reverse stock split, is my understanding. I understand it's a risky stock, but I wanted to get your thoughts and maybe a little bit of education on how the reverse stock splits work and what kind of impact the uplisting could potentially have on the stock. Anything you have to offer would be appreciated. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, so he's talking about stocks traded what we call on the pink sheets, meaning they're not listed on the NASDAQ or the New York. And to get listed, to get off the pink sheets, which is the goal of almost all pink sheet stocks, remember, these and the pink sheets are considered penny stocks, super high-risk companies, okay? But that doesn't mean they're all, just 99% of them are super high-risk. And some of them are successful getting off the pink sheets, but he's talking about and how they're doing it as a reverse split. You know, first of all, you have to know what a stock split is. A normal stock split is where you know, $100 stock is split 2-for-1, and you have now 2 shares for every 1 share, but it's now $50 a share. Okay, and why does a pink sheet stock kind of have to do a reverse split? Well, if you're going to get listed on the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange, they have minimums. They have requirements, liquidity requirements, price, stock price requirements. On the NASDAQ, unless it's changed recent years, the minimum price has to be $2 a share. On the Dow, it was $5. I'm not sure what they are today because I don't keep track of that stuff. But so if you have a penny stock and it's selling for 40 cents a share, to get listed on the NASDAQ, it's got to be more than $2 a share. So what they do is do a reverse split, meaning for every 100 shares you have, they'll do a 1-for-10 split, meaning you'll only have 1 share and the price will go up 10 times to try to get it to a decent price, a high enough price required over the minimum, of course, of the index you're going to. Now, to get on the index, you have to have financial requirements, liquidity requirements, price requirements, auditing requirements. I mean, you got to do a lot of things. They don't let anybody on this thing, on the trading exchange. So that's what he's talking about when they do a reverse split. So be very careful about reverse splits. Many of them, many of the companies that get to the NASDAQ don't necessarily stay there. So look at the earnings, the growth of earnings, what kind of business they have, and look at all the dangers there. Okay? Good question. Thank you for the question. I appreciate that. Only 1 in 5 of these participants rebalanced their portfolio last year, an important step in retirement planning process. A step-by-step rebalance for your 401k. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. Goldman Sachs has 3 reasons why stocks won't rally this year. Remember, we're in the time of the year that we get a year-end rally, a Christmas rally, or whatever you want to call it. Usually bottoms in October sometime. Now, no one knows it's already bottomed. We don't know that. We think it has. On September 29th or 30th, came to a bottom and retested the bottom that happened in August. But no one knows for sure. There's no crystal ball. So we're going to talk about that. Goldman Sachs has 3 reasons why stocks won't rally. And the most popular excuses for poor Q3 earnings. Now, there's not a lot of people, a lot of companies that have reported third quarter earnings yet that were just getting started. And there's like only 35, 40 companies or so that's reported so far. But what are the reasons why they missed their earnings? Now, not all of them missed earnings, but most of them did. And remember, we talked about this, that last week we thought I mentioned that, you know, there's going to be a lot of companies that beat the earnings, but the earnings are going to be worse than they were last year in the same quarter. But what are the reasons they're using? You probably can come up with a couple of them. One is by far the biggest reason, by far. So we're going to talk about that. And finally, common mistakes in managing money, both by pros and non-pros, amateurs and professionals. Some of the common mistakes. And I will say this. Don't think I'm excluding myself. I have to guard against these kinds of mistakes too. Everybody does. Everybody thinks a money manager has special knowledge. Well, they might have more knowledge, but it's not that special. It's just more knowledge and more experience, and hopefully they learn from the experience. That's the hope. But, you know, every money manager out there, including myself, makes mistakes. Don't think we don't. We do. We try to keep those mistakes small. I mean, that's, you know, we manage the risk, but sometimes you make wrong calls. It's just how it works. So when you call up about a stock or a strategy and I give an answer, it's not, you know, I'm just giving you my best opinion based on experience and knowledge that I have. But I'm not always right. This doesn't happen. I wish I was. Wouldn't that be nice? You know, Justin and I, Justin is younger than I am. I've been around many years, so I've learned to be humble over my lifetime because I know that the market can do strange things sometimes that are totally out of left field. And you just have to accept it and try to manage your way through it. So, I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. I want to hear your comments and questions today. InvestTalk is made possible each day by KPP Financial, our firm who serves clients all across the United States. I have clients not in every state, but in most states. So if you want to become part of the team, you want to be a client, you certainly can do so. If you'd like to see descriptions of our investment programs, just go to investtalk.com, click on the investment tab, you'll see them. You'll like our balanced income program. That one is pretty good. Steady yield for those who can't really tolerate too much risk. Take a look. You're listening to InvestTalk.
Hi, Steve and Justin. Thank you for your show. I wanted to get your opinion on these stocks, which I've held for over 10 years, B of A, Citicorp, and GE, which I've held for over 10 years. Should I sell and at what price or buy more if the market drops? Thank you for your opinion. I'll be listening. Thanks.
Now, of course, all three of those are big blue chip stocks, Bank of America, Citigroup, and General Electric. And, you know, I'm not going to go over each one with the fundamentals. I'll pick one for you. Let's pick, how about GE, General Electric. Big blue chip stocks, if you had them for 10 years, the only reason why you would probably sell them is because you want to rebalance your portfolio and they've gone up or down too much and you want to rebalance. Because you want those. And they shouldn't be the only three stocks in your portfolio, obviously. On General Electric, looking at General Electric, they're going to increase their earnings 18% next year after losing 8% this year. To $1.53 next year, $1.30 this year. Last year was $1.41, the year before $1.45. And I've noticed that a lot of companies, all their earnings projections are higher next year. Next year is an estimate. We don't know for sure. I can tell you, though, that GE is not overpriced. It's fairly priced. It's broken up from a low made in late August this year to a new 52-week high yesterday, and it fell down today by 22 cents to, $27.87. So, I like GE. I think, as long as the economy continues to roll, and I think if we can get China and Europe to turn around, and they look like they're trying every method they can to do that, if they're successful, GE is going to go higher. Meanwhile, you're getting a 3.3% dividend, which is nice. They're making money. That's not an issue. Growth is like 1% to 2% a quarter, even though last quarter was down 6%. On average, four quarters, it's going to be about 1% to 2%. It's GE. They're a $281 billion company. But as far as, and over half their income comes from outside the United States. So you need a global improvement in economies for them. And I do like the fact that you have a lot of insiders buying in recent months. Kind of like that. So I kind of like GE at this point. Okay. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley. Our number to join us right now is 888-99-CHART. Quickly, the market was down. Dow was down 50, the Nasdaq down 42, and the S&P down 14 today. So it kind of broke its winning streak of the last, 5 or 6 days in a row. You should expect that. There's going to be several days that'll give it back. I would assume that's normal. You're listening to InvestTalk.
We thank you for subscribing and downloading our podcast. Despite low returns, treasuries still have a role in investors' portfolios. Can government bonds provide downside protection? That's our talking point for Wednesday's podcast. Please join us then.
888-992-4278. Give us a call. We'll talk about whatever money or financial question you might have. Steps to rebalancing your 401k. You can do it like a pro. deciding on timing, how often you should do it, is pretty important. I recommend take a look at it every quarter. Every quarter, take a look at your 401k, and do you want to, has anything got out of whack? In other words, if you are an aggressive investor and you want to be aggressive, and your portfolio, although something happens to make it less aggressive, not what you want, well, that's a good time to reevaluate. Or maybe you're an aggressive investor and you have a bunch of, and one of the assets just takes off, quadruples on you, and now that's a very big part of your portfolio. Well, you need to rebalance. But how often do you look at it to do these things? You can't do it like me every day, but you can do it on a quarterly basis. And another thing you could check out is your own risk tolerance. As you get older, most people's risk tolerance goes down because you have less and less time to make up the money if you lose it in the stock market. So at some point, you want to reevaluate not just your holdings, but how much risk you want to take in your holdings. Okay, you're a growth investor and you're taking a lot of risk. And now you've done that for 20 years, but very aggressive. And now you're 5 years from retirement. Maybe you should start thinking about rebalancing the risk that you're taking. And there's a different kinds of risk, by the way. Not just, there's market risk. There's stock market, stock risk of the individual stock. There's risk of interest rates rising or falling. There's different kinds of risks that you have to kind of understand. You know, most people think of stocks and bonds, and there's two different risks involved there. Stocks are risky because of, you know, the stock market can go down. The bonds are risky because, for instance, right now, what are the risky parts of the bond market? Certainly not the U.S. Treasury. But have you looked how poorly junk bonds have done? They've been pretty much beat up this year, junk bonds. So if you're, you know, that's a very different risk, junk bonds, than bonds and government-backed bonds. Still bonds, very different risks, that kind of thing. And you know, so there's other things. We have an article that you could go to. It's called 5 Steps to Rebalancing Your 401k Like a Pro. It's on investtalk.com. Just go to the website. You'll see it. Talking point for today. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. 888-992-4278. Our first priority is answering your questions. Let's pick up a call that came in before today's program. It's our 24-hour listener line, so you can call it anytime you want, 24 hours a day. 888-990-SHART. Stuart called from Pleasanton.
My question is, when someone calls in and asks about a stock, you often talk about your price for that stock, and I wonder what that is. Oftentimes, it's quite a bit higher than what the stock is currently going for, or perhaps lower. And I wonder, what is your calculation of your price on the stock? Thank you very much. Enjoy your show.
Well, it's a combination of things. I have to do it pretty quick here on the air. We have software that helps us, helps me, and helps Justin pick a price for a particular stock. What did we talk about? GE before? Someone called about GE. So what's the target price? Well, it's going to make $1.53. And we know that it's an industrial name, growing very slowly, so it doesn't deserve a very high P.E. ratio. And so I look at the 5-year range of their P.E. ratio. I can pick a midpoint and say, okay, the stock shouldn't be trading more than about $40 a share. No more than that. I'm making $1.53. Probably closer to, you know, the 15, probably close to right where it is really the good, it's a good value. It could probably go to 30, 40 would be really stretching. So I think it's a fair price for where it is right now. How do I do that? Well, I know the earnings estimates for next year, and that's a guess, right? That, an educated guess, still a guess. Then I look at the 5-year PE range is 11 to 20. So if I pick a midpoint, maybe 15, okay, 15 is going to make $1.53, that's $23 a share. But I think it's on a growth pattern now. The earnings are going to go up, not down, and therefore I want to give it a little bit more weight. So I'm going to give it a little bit more weight. Maybe it'll be 16 or 17 PE, especially in this low inflationary environment. See how I do, and so therefore it's just experience doing it a pretty much a bazillion times tells me that, and I do have software that tells me what it thinks the value is. I take a look at the stock and try to give you a pretty good number as best I can. And again, remember, it's based on next year's estimates. There's no rocket science here. No way to know it. And I know their earnings are stable. That's another factor that is in my mind that's automatic. I don't even think about it. I look at the earnings. Okay, made $1.40, $1 back in 2008, $1.97, $1.18, $1.14, bump, 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 bump. So now it's going to make $1.53. Pretty darn steady earnings. So that also factors in. Gives a little bit higher P/E ratio. This is Invest Talk. We've reached the halfway mark in our hour. There's still plenty of time, plenty to talk about. Give me a call. Want to help you decide your next I want you to help me decide the next webinar topic. Take our instant survey. We want to know your ideas of what you want to talk about in a webinar. Choose from our list or write your own if you want. Just go to investtalk.com, click on the investment tab, and then click on webinar.
This is Invest Talk for Tuesday, October 13th, and we're open to any money question. I own a stock that has been in decline, so how do I know when it's time to sell? Bring your question to Steve right now. The line is open at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Common mistakes pros and non-pros make in managing money, managing your portfolio. And one of them is reacting too quickly. Remember this correction we had in August and everybody reacted to it? A lot of people were panicking out because, oh, the world's falling apart and it's starting to come back. So, sometimes you act too quickly. You freak out about something and you shouldn't. That's one of the mistakes. Trying to time the market, which kind of goes along with reacting too quickly. Getting in and out, that just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. Doesn't mean you can't go to cash, but it's not about timing the market. It's about rebalancing your portfolio, reducing your risk, but not about timing the market. Trading too much and too often. Common mistake, very common for most people. Getting in and out of different things. And that also, why are you doing that? Are you trying to time the market? Because that ain't going to work. And taking too much or too little risk, not understanding the risk that you're taking and not taking enough risk or not realizing you've taken too much. One or the other, many times, maybe it's just right. How much risk do you feel comfortable with? And this is a very tough question to answer. It's difficult to answer. And how you go about answering, you can obviously use our Riskalyze software on our website at investtalk.com, and you can take that risk questionnaire, and it measures risk from 0 to 99. But what you're trying to do is determine, how much losses would I still be okay with versus the potential gains? So if I'm going to lose, if I have the potential to lose 30%, but I have also the potential to make 50%, would I take that risk? Yes or no? And that's how that questionnaire goes on Riskalyze. It's a very short questionnaire. You can do it in just a couple of minutes. But that's how it goes. And it tries to measure your risk and give you a score between 0 and 99. The higher the number, the more risk. Then I can put in your portfolio and it will measure the risk of that portfolio. And then I can help you adjust it to make sure it matches what you want. And you can do this without software, but you have to now understand what's a risky stock and what's a non-risky stock. And that gets kind of difficult. But there's ways to do that, and we're going to talk about it here in Invest Talk 101. Let's go to Sean in New York. He wants to talk about day trading. How you doing, Sean?
Yes, I'm good. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Sure. I was wondering what your thoughts are about day trading and some schools that claim they can teach you how to do day trading for a couple $1,000?
Personally, I think, Sean, I think that's a big waste of money. I think that they can't, they cannot teach day trading to any certainty. Most traders lose money. Most day traders lose money, about 85 to 90% of them. Doesn't mean you cannot be good at it, Sean. You can, but it's really difficult to do. And if you're really honest with yourself, instead of, you know, telling yourself when you practice your paper trades, well, I would have sold here and I would have got in there. You know, once you do it, and if you really, really want to try it, make sure you try it with just a few $1,000, not very much money, so that you can, and then build yourself up with your confidence if you're good at it. If you do it for 6 months and you haven't made a dime, that should tell you something. So be very careful.
You're not very positive about that.
Yeah, I don't think I that $2,000 they're charging you, though, that's a, if they were so good at it, Sean, that they're teaching you, why don't they just go do it and make millions instead of charging you $2,000?
Yeah.
That's because they're not good at it either. It's hard. It's very hard.
Okay? I see.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it. I love those people that say, make money in real estate. This is how you can do it. I made millions. And all you do is buy their tapes or buy their system, same way with stock market. Use this trading program and you'll make millions. Well, if that's all true, why aren't they doing it? Why are they hawking the services? It's much easier to do it, if you can do it, than it is to sell the services. And then they say, well, I want to share this with everybody. And, you know, right there, that should be a really big red flag. That really should. That's not, something's wrong there. So be careful. There's no get rich quick anything anywhere. Can you get lucky in the lottery? Okay, maybe. But chances are very good that you won't. Time for InvestTalk 101. How many stocks do you need? What is a correlation? What is correlation? What is the diversification? How do you do it? Now, diversification is simple. It's easy to understand in theory. But to use it properly when you invest, you should be familiar with underlying principles and definitions. Diversification, diversify your portfolio. What does that mean? How? What percentage should be in gold, bonds, stocks? What kind of stocks? High growth, small caps, big caps, value stocks, growth stocks, foreign stocks? How much of each? See how it can get very complicated. There are certain keys that you can understand. You know, different kinds of risks. You know, you got systematic risks and idiosyncratic risks. What does that mean? Well, keep an eye. You know, there's all kinds of things that you're going to have to learn, at least have a working understanding of. And make sure you keep an eye on correlation, too. Well, what does that mean? You know, all these things have definition. Correlation is pretty easy. It's where one stock moves up and down almost the same as another stock. Correlation. You know, every stock in the same sector usually moves up with the whole sector and down with the whole sector. Some stocks will move up faster, some lower, but there's a correlation. So, you know, you don't want to buy, hey, I have proper diversification. I got 15 different stocks when five of them are in the exact same industry and doing the same thing in that industry. They're all, let's say, chip stocks. Well, that's not, you've got a lot of correlation there, and it's not proper diversification. You see, so it gets complicated. You know what beta is? Alpha and beta? You ever heard of those terms? We've talked about them here on the show. What's a beta? That's how much volatility in an individual stock. Do you want high beta stocks or low beta stocks? And it's a volatility measurement against the S&P 500. In a market where you're really, you know, worried and want to have some protection, but you still want to be in the market, you might want to consider low beta stocks. You know, and many of the big blue chip stocks are lower beta. Not all of them, don't think so. Wait, GE we just talked about, the beta is 1.06, meaning it's just a tad more volatile than the S&P 500. A beta 1 means this is likely to go up and down. It's very likely to go up and down with the S&P 500. So you got to start learning these terms and then apply them to your positions and understand, okay, I have these stocks are low beta and these are high and these are growth stocks. These are, and oh, what about my foreign stocks? And do I really want to have all that stocks? Maybe I should have some bonds to offset some of the risk of being in the stock market. But then there's risk in the bond market. So what part of the bond market? Do I want to be in the junk bond market, which is much higher risk? Or the, see how, then you start building a portfolio. Got to make sense of all this. I know it's hard. It takes work. I know. That's why you might want to turn it over to me. I'll be happy to do it for you. That's what I do for a living. To read more about diversification, click on the link, Motley Fool article, under Talking Point, the Talking Point link on investtalk.com.
KPP Financial offers a whole range of financial services for their clients, because our money life is more than our retirement portfolio. Now KPP Financial has a licensed real estate agent on staff to help you make the best possible choices when it comes to decisions about your home. And learn more about all of their investment programs. Visit investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
Yes, good afternoon. Ron here from Fremont. Just calling in regards to two of my favorite stocks that I'd like to get your opinion on as far as a six-month outlook and an actual value of these stocks. First one being Cisco Systems and the second one being AT&T. I'd take that off the air if I could, please. Thank you.
Now, between those two companies, there's not much correlation because AT&T, of course, is a telephone data provider, and Cisco manufactures switches and routers and networking equipment. So one is a service company, AT&T, big, blue chip, and the other is a manufacturer company, big, blue chip. But there's not much correlation. They don't go up and down with each other. Now, the little difference, AT&T, the only reason why you really buy AT&T in my mind is the dividend. Because you're not going to get much growth. You're going to get 1, 2, 3% growth maybe. And the dividend is 5.7%. And they have never lowered their dividend in years. So I kind of like that. I think that's why you would buy AT&T. You can make 5.7% on your money. They've never lowered their dividend in years. So it's a fairly secure. They're growing their earnings 4%, their sales 1, 2%. It's kind of boring. Cisco is similar, and by the way, AT&T is probably fairly priced right where it is. And Cisco is similar in that you're not going to have a lot of growth, a little bit more growth than an AT&T. You're going to get maybe 4, 5, 6% growth. Its dividend is 3%, big blue chip stock. And the valuation, it's a $27 stock, and its probably valuation is probably $30 to $32 a share, because it's going to grow its earnings to $2.45 next year. You give it a 13P that it's in right now, and you can see it's going to be 30-something, and it's a 27. So I think Cisco has better possibility of price appreciation than AT&T. And you could say, well, why is that, Steve? Because, you know, it's going to make AT&T's going to make $2.78, and it's a $33 stock. Well, that's more expensive, is it not? And there's less growth at AT&T than there is Cisco. So, you know, both of them are big blue chips. Neither one would consider growth stocks, but on balance, Cisco grows more than AT&T, and AT&T pays a much better dividend. So you decide. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, we're in the earnings season, just started, so we don't have a lot, and this report just came out today, so we don't have a lot of stock earnings reports by the CEOs, but what are the most popular excuses for not so good earnings coming out of these CEOs? And you could probably guess. Now, not all of them complain. Okay, and not all of them came up with an excuse, okay? But of about 35 or so that have come up with excuses, saying, oh, our earnings are poor because of this, the by far most common quoted excuse is because of a strong dollar, by far. The dollar is strong and it hurt our earnings. Now, that excuse is going to wear thin because the dollar has been trading sideways since May. Okay? So, yes, it got stronger beginning of the year, into last year. It got pretty, ran up. But since May, it's tailed off. So, probably not next quarter, but maybe the quarter after, first quarter or the second quarter of next year, that excuse isn't going to hold up unless the dollar shoots up again. The next major reason, which is was a third of the reason for the dollar being strong, a third of that, so it's two-thirds less people complaining about it, was wages and earnings. Then it was China and Europe is the next one. And the fifth one was low oil and gas prices. But these are excuses by these companies. There's only about 35 of them, so there's not a lot out there. But out of 35, about 18 or so of them was because of the strong dollar. So there you have it. They're whining about the strong dollar. And I've told you, I kind of been trying to warn you that the earnings are not, in and of themselves, are not going to be very strong this quarter. And you want to pay attention to the estimates, not what they're saying about previous, because that's already built in. We already know that's probably going to be weak. We don't know how weak, but we're probably going to be weak. But they are going to beat their, a lot of companies are going to beat their estimates because it's planned that way. The experts are always guiding you to try to beat those estimates. So the estimates have been coming down all quarter long, like they do almost every quarter, so that they can ensure that they'll beat their estimates. But if you look at the year-ago earnings compared to this most recent quarter that's coming out now, you'll see that most of the companies are lower, significantly lower. Still having earnings, though. Just the growth of earnings or shrinking. There's a shrinkage of earnings, not growth. Will that turn around? Remember, the stock market looks forward. So the question is, will that turn around in the future? Each month I schedule a day or two to visit one of our satellite offices in California. I'll be in San Jose November 11th for a day of one-to-one meetings with listeners who like to review their retirement portfolio, talk about the market. You know, of course, we'll discuss our services, but, you know, I want you to take advantage of it if you can. Times are set on a first-come, first-served basis. You can reserve your time by going to investtalk.com and clicking on Schedule Meeting. Or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Why not make use of KPP Financial's free risk analysis tool? This is the award-winning tool that can cost as much as $100 or more to use. You answer a few simple questions. It assigns you a risk level value, which can be used to measure against the risk in your current retirement portfolio. Again, use it for free on investtalk.com.
888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Jeff in New Jersey. What part of New Jersey do you live in, Jeff?
I live in South Jersey, just about 15 minutes south of Cherry Hill.
Okay, know it well. I used to live in Parsippany, Troy Hills. Do you know where that is?
That's up north, right?
Yeah, it is north. That's right. That's when I first got out of college. I lived there and commuted into the city. Appreciate you calling, Jeff. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate the program. I find it to be very educational and definitely motivational as an individual investor, so I appreciate it.
Good, thank you.
I was calling today about Southwest Airlines, ticker LUZ. I had originally purchased this over a year ago and, you know, had thought of it as, you know, a long-term holding for my portfolio, but since I've been listening for the past 11 months, you know, on podcast daily, I've come to realize and agree with your position on the industry as a whole, you know, with the lack of moat and the price competition that I no longer view it as a long-term holding. And I've been kind of, the past couple months, I've been trying to figure out a good point to exit the stock. I bought it in the 20s, like I said, over a year ago.
Okay.
And to me, I was thinking somewhere in the mid-40s would be a good place to maybe, you know, start to put a, you know, maybe a trailing stop if it hits that. But, you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you, you know, what you would do.
Well, before you just said that, I was thinking the mid-40s myself. I think, now, LUV is Southwest Airlines, and I don't think we have to tell everybody. It's one of the best airlines out there, Jeff. So I know I badmouth the whole airline industry from an investment point of view. And I do that because, as you point out, they don't have a lot of control of their own destiny. They got a lot of unions. Oil prices are, you know, airplane fuel prices controls profits. Unions control profits. And there's a lot of competition. So I'm always hesitant about airline. Now, Southwest is one of the better ones. I mean, it's maybe number one, two, or three as far as better run airline. And it's not too expensive. Earnings are going up 73% this year, another 10% next year. Sales are going up, growing about 5% a quarter. Profitability is there. Good return on equity of 20%. It's got all the numbers I like, Jeff. So you now have a little run up. I think it's going to slow down right around the mid-40s. So that's when you start putting your trailing stop right there. It, you know, today it's down, but you know it's been running up for several months. Up and down, August low, like everything else almost. But it didn't really retest its low like the market did. So that shows you it had more strength. So I kind of think you're okay. Oil prices are going to stay low probably for a long time. So you want to kind of stick with it. I think it's going to go into mid-40s and it's going to hit some resistance there. So that's when you want to, you know, that's when it may turn over, roll back down. But then again, it's got numbers and it's not overpriced. So it might keep running up. So just, as you say, Jeff, put a trailing stop. Don't just get out. Put a trailing stop.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Think it's good?
Yeah, I appreciate the insight.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. I appreciate that. That's LUV, Southwest Airline, everybody. Goldman Sachs has three reasons why stocks won't rally. Now, I want to warn you, I can find zillions of negative articles on the stock market and where it's going, and almost as much as positive articles, and it's going to go higher. And when it gets too much of one way or another, you know, like we've had a huge amount of negativity in the summer here, and in September, everybody was down on the market. When that happens, you can pretty much expect a rally, because when everybody's out, who's left to get out? But anyways, here's Goldman Sachs for three reasons why stocks won't rally to the end of the year. Okay. Underwhelming earnings. Well, that's true, isn't it? That's one of their reasons. The earnings for the S&P the third quarter are not going to be great. Fourth quarter, they might start recovering. Not going to be great. But that's possible. The federal debt limit deadline is looming. It's coming up. Are they going to, two sides going to fight over that again? Are they going to shut down the government again? That's another worry. And, of course, the Federal Reserve rate increase. Are they going to increase it? Now, many people believe not. They may not increase it this year. Is that good or bad? Does that instill confidence if they don't do it? Or does that instill confidence if they do it? Kind of psychology there. Our hour's up. Thank you for being here and spending this time with me. Thanks to those who brought their questions up. I do appreciate it. If you have a question and you want answered, you can go to investtalk.com, you can send me an email, you can call our 24-hour listener line. Number's always the same, 888-99-CHART, if you want to reach me directly. And of course, investtalk.com, click on the Contact Steve button. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley, and on behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors,
Call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.